Friends, in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, we read that Jesus spoke to the people at the temple, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This annoyed the Pharisees. They accused him of bearing a false witness about himself. They said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus responds by asserting the truth of what he declared about himself and his right to bear witness to himself because of his heavenly identity, of which they remained ignorant. The gospel already spoke of Jesus in the first chapter as the very manifestation of divine presence and truth in human nature. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The gospel goes on to point out Jesus' superiority to Moses, the Old Testament's greatest prophet. It says about Jesus the Messiah, "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Friends, John's first chapter continues to attribute divine truth and knowledge to Jesus the Messiah. It says, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Then Jesus further said to those who seemed to believe in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They, however, rejected the idea that they needed to be set free. So they responded by saying, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Friends, such assertion was clearly and totally untrue, even in a political sense. Their ancestors were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Later, their nation was defeated, subdued, and the people were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, and they continued to be under foreign occupation for 7 centuries. Even then, while they argued with Jesus, they were under Roman occupation. Yet Jesus was speaking of that which pertained to liberty of the human soul. In verse 34, we read Jesus' clarification. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever." So Jesus addressed humanity's enslavement to sin due to its rebellion and loss of its intimate relationship and its separation from the gracious Creator. Jesus reminded them that Abraham himself was liberated from the spiritual enslavement to sin. Through saving faith, Abraham was brought into the spiritual family of God as the son of the truth. Such, however, was not the case with them. That's why Jesus the Messiah added, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. Friends, Jesus' heavenly teaching is crystal clear. Liberation from slavery to sin requires clinging to the one who embodies the liberating divine truth. Belonging to the family of God is not through physical lineage to Abraham or any other prominent person of religion. This is the apostolic teaching which is provided in the third chapter of the Epistle to the Galatians. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Hallelujah.